A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Remember, no telephone calls this week as we're bringing you a special Resurrection Week edition of the Let's Face the Issues program with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, a series of messages recorded in the pulpit of First Conservative Baptist Church. And now let's continue today's message on this special Resurrection Week edition of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
And just picture that from the human perspective and multiply that in the life of Jesus, because he is God come in the flesh. In his humanity, he is suffering because in his deity, he knows what is before him. The very next day, we will suffer and die and bleed on Calvary's cross for your sins and for mine. And his humanity is exceedingly lonely, anguished, and hurting. Remember, Jesus, as I said, is 100% God and 100% man. He's hurting as he faces Calvary's cross and all that he's going to face the next day, with the beatings that's going to take place, the ridicule that will take place, the anguish that he'll suffer. And we need to understand it's for me and you. He went through all of that for us, that we might live more abundantly. In Jesus' time of deepest hurt, he prays. Notice in verse 35 and 36, the prayer recorded. Jesus comes to the garden and prays. And while he's praying, it reminds me of the song, old song, I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That aloneness with God and that time that we can part our hearts before him is that time that he gives us encouragement and hope and peace. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. May I remind you, there are 4 things that we need to notice in this prayer. Verse 35 and following. First of all, his recognition. And he, that is Jesus, went forward a little and fell on the ground, that is literal on his face, prostrate on his face, and prayed. If it were possible, the hour, God's appointed time, might pass from him. I find it fascinating in the word study there. That word if is in the first class conditional clause in the Greek text. You don't have to remember that at all. But it can be translated since. Jesus Christ is in his humanity, but because of his deity, he knows what God the Father can do. And he says in that text, since. Not if, as we look at it, that's all right. But since it's possible for the hour, God's appointed time, to pass, Jesus says, Father, I know you can. I recognize your power. I recognize that you're God. I recognize your power. I recognize that what's taking place is in your hands. I recognize that your appointed time for me in my humanity to die on the cross. I realize and recognize and embrace all of that. But if it's possible, let this hour pass. If it's possible. The peace that we often know when we come to the point in recognizing God's in full control. Notice not only the recognition, but the relationship. And he said, Abba, that is Daddy, that's the intimate personal relationship, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Nothing is impossible with God. when we pray, do we have the faith in that relationship as a child to the daddy? It's what Jesus is doing, Abba Father. It's like a child coming to daddy and saying, Daddy, would you do this for me? That's exactly the mindset and the heart and his humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ in this moment. The request is made in verse 36. Take away this cup. It's the cup of wrath, God's wrath. It's the cup of God's anger. It's the cup of sin that's to be poured out on the Lord Jesus Christ on Mount Calvary the very next day. Jesus in his humanity facing Calvary's punishment for the sins of the whole wide world. Jesus Christ is high, holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, the scripture tells us. He is sinless, Son of God. And it's as a result of the virgin birth. Jesus Christ did not have Adamic blood in his veins. It was God's blood because God's the Father. And through the miracle of the virgin birth, Jesus Christ takes on the flesh of humanity. He's God's Lamb. John says in John 1:29, Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ becomes God's little lamb that at that Passover celebration becomes the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole wide world. He is saying, Father, can you remove this cup? We see his recognition, his relationship, his request, but notice the relinquishment. This is the key, verse 36. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Most of the time, most of us will pray and insist that God say yes. You can say amen or oh me. Isn't that what we do? Somehow, some way, we think we're deserving. That if we make a request, God's supposed to answer it and say, yes, son, yes, my daughter, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Jesus prays to God the Father because he is God the Son. He is 100% God and 100% human. And in that humanity, he prays to God the Father and says, if it is possible, remove this cup. And then there's the relinquishment. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. God has far greater and most of the time far different plans for our lives than we ever dream possible. It's when we relinquish our desire, relinquish our will, and submit our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ that there is peace that passes all understanding and victory beyond anything that words can describe in your life and in my life. Jesus prays believing that all things are possible with God, but a willingness to obey, a willingness to submit, a willingness to relinquish his will to the will of the Father. Can you imagine what it would be like in our churches today if that were the heart and that were the mindset of Christians? Is Lord, just take my life and use it. Whatever you want, just use me to serve you in the world that we're living in today. We see revival in 24 hours across America if Christians would make that commitment today. Relinquishment to the will of the Father. Not only do we see the prediction of denial revealed in the prayer of distress recorded, but I want you to notice finally in verse 37 through 42, the principles of desertion reviewed. Notice presumption revealed. We'll recall in verse 34, Jesus said, Tarry ye here and watch. Jesus has prayed just 1 hour. Jesus returns and finds his disciples reading the Bible. No, he didn't. He found them sound asleep, didn't he? Not alert, not praying. Perhaps it's presumption that prayer is not really important at that point. 37 says, And he, that is Jesus, cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch, stay alert just for 1 hour? Often pride will say prayer is really not needed. Oft times, and we're all guilty of it, somehow, some way, there's the mindset that I can handle that problem. I have an answer already. I know what to do with it and how to respond to it. And God would want us to bring every little thing to him in prayer. God wants us to turn our lives over to him, every aspect of our life, with every closet door opened, that he might be in charge, in full control. of what he wants through our lives. Many times the mindset is, I can handle it without prayer. I can handle it without Bible study. I can handle my life without worship. What about our watchfulness, our alertness, taking time to watch and pray? Peter was willing to die for Jesus, but he wasn't willing to sit there and pray for an hour while the Lord Jesus Christ went into Gethsemane to pray. I'll not deny you, Peter said. Go sound asleep when there's an opportunity to pray for the Lord Jesus. He couldn't remain alert for 1 hour. Why? Verse 38, watch ye and pray lest ye enter into temptation. Periosmos, that's the word testing. The spirit, literally, the inner man, the Holy Spirit inside truly is ready, but the flesh, humanity, is weak. Jesus says, be careful that you not enter into that time of testing, because keep in mind, working the Holy Spirit in you is willing, but the flesh is weak. You ever made a decision, I'm gonna take this Bible book and I'm gonna sit down, I'm gonna read through every chapter, and about the first 10 verses, you go to sleep. You ever said, well, I'm really gonna pray through the night and ask God to have his will and way in my life. And after about 5 or 6 minutes, you sound asleep. It wasn't just Peter, we're all guilty. We all fall into that same flesh, human mindset that somehow, some way, prayer is not important. The humanity is weak, Jesus says. Just try to pray. Just start reading the Bible. Just take 5 minutes and you'll be sleepy, tired, and willing to just go to sleep, because the old sinful human nature refuses to stay alert for the Lord Jesus Christ. The presumption revealed. Notice the persistence recognized. And again, Jesus went away and prayed and spake the same words, prayed the same prayer, verse 36, according to what he prayed there. Do we pray just one time, or do we keep praying? Now, there's some mindset that says, well, all you got to do is ask God one time and that's it. No. Go to the scripture and talks about the judge, that the woman kept going to him and going to him and going to him with her request, and finally he relented and said, okay. We can't pray. We do not pray to change God's mind. We pray that God can change us, that we'll be willing to receive and accept his will in our lives. We're to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us. Jesus gives us a good example of persistence in prayer. Notice the pronouncement rendered in verse 40 through 42. The third and final time, Jesus returns and finds them asleep. He says, sleep on. Take your rest. It is enough. It's too late to pray. I believe we can get to the point in time, individually, collectively, as a nation, when it's too late to pray. I believe we can cross that invisible line where we have failed and faltered so long that God says, sleep on. America's at the crossroads. And I believe we're at the junction, the position in our nation, lest the church be the salt and light that God's called us to be, we'll find we've crossed that tipping point line where there's no turning back. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that is Judas that betrayeth me is at hand. You see, Peter failed to watch and pray three times. Keep in mind, he's going to deny Jesus three times. Would you make a commitment today to be careful and faithful and submissive to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he would have for our lives? Perhaps you say, what's the takeaway for the message today? We need to understand our own hearts and the weakness in the flesh and the ease that it is for us to fall away from the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question. You can answer it between you and the Lord. Can you recall that day, that time, that moment you said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord? That joy unspeakable, that sense that I'm floating in air almost. Do you have that same feeling today? Who moved? Who moved? If you don't have that same joy today, that same thrill today, that same rejoicing in the heart today, why? Why not? Perhaps it's because we failed to follow through on that prayer time, that Bible study time, that commitment in Bible study and worship service and Sunday school time. That's where we are refreshed in the Word, encouraged and challenged in the Word. We cannot do it alone. God calls us together to fellowship around His Word, studying His Word, enjoying that fellowship. Would you stand together?
See what I once was. If you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. Just an old sinner saved by grace.
Just a
The victories God has won. Where would I be had God not brought me gently to this place? I'm here to say I'm nothing but a sinner.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Let's see, if something
costs less. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Let's see, if something costs less, a lot less, but people are actually happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard joining MediShare can save you or your family up to $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true. People are just happier with it. They love being part of something that reflects and promotes their values and what they believe in. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years now, and members have shared more than $7 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network, so yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. Whether you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan that you're happy with, here you go. You can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. It's 844-55-BIBLE. That's 844-55-BIBLE. 844-55-BIBLE.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Are you a secret follower of Jesus? Maybe you're reluctant or embarrassed, fearful to let friends or family or coworkers know that you believe what the Bible teaches. Well, today's message on Truth for Life will challenge your reluctance to openly affirm your faith. Alistair Begg is teaching about a secret disciple found in the closing verses of Mark chapter 15.
And Mark records, when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene